This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. If today's program helps meet your spiritual needs, we pray you will continue to tune in every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
Do we suffer for our faith in Christ Jesus? This is a very important question in the light of what we read in our Bible. We're going to discuss it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, spare us from falling prey to an easy type faith that is guilty of chipping away at the teachings of the faith which are offensive to us or to others. In the midst of a chaotic world and a confused church, help us to be faithful to what you have commanded us to be and to teach. All of this we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, we are in the midst of a series of sermons on the subject of being a faithful servant in our day of chaos and confusion. Last Sunday, I preached on being ashamed of Jesus Christ, that there are times that we probably remain silent or even go contrary to our convictions just to be a part of the crowd. And Paul is saying in his letter to Timothy and then on to us that such should not be the case in the life of a faithful servant. Now today, if you are a faithful servant in that you can freely tell your story of what Jesus Christ has done for you without ever being ashamed, you are going to eventually run into suffering. Society itself does not want anything that is really hard. It has been rather successful in making life easier today than it was in the past. I only have to go to the laundry room. I remember when I was a lad, my mother had Monday for washing day, Tuesday for ironing day, and I don't know what the rest were, but those 2 days were set aside for these major chores in a housekeeper's life. All she had for equipment would be a wringer and a scrub board. And there she would take this soiled clothing and scrub until it was clean. Then she would rinse it, and then she would put it through the wringer. The wringer was one that you had to turn by your own hand. And I recall when I got old enough, I would sometimes go down there and turn the wringer for my mother. After the clothes was washed, she then put it out on the clothesline. Now that was all right in a bright summer day. But take a day in February, when it was cold in the state of Maine, and she put those clothes out on that clothesline, and they would grow as stiff as a board. Then it was to take it in, and eventually to get it ironed. It was a big job, and I wonder how often her fingers have been almost bitten with frost. But she did it, and so did all of her neighbors, for few people had what was known even in those days as an old-fashioned washing machine today. Now, living in a society like this that is majored in making life easier, isn't it natural that there will be some of those who will say, that's the kind of a Christianity that we need? We need to take some of the offensive statements out of our Christianity. Maybe we will attract more people. Maybe they are just shut off because of our real bluntness about sin and forgiveness and eternal damnation and all the rest. John Stott, the Englishman, has said, "The authentic gospel has never been popular." Just remember that. The authentic gospel has never been popular. It humbles the sinner too much. So when we are called upon to suffer for the gospel, we are tempted to trim it down. We seek to limit the parts of the message that happens to be offensive to us and to our group. Christianity has been worked over by humans, adding and subtracting to please the happy-go-lucky crowd that it is no longer, in some cases, true to what the Lord ever intended. But that type of a Christianity that has been adjusted in that way is never going to be worth much in our time of needs. And that's why there are people in the church today who are very, very concerned about what is happening. For example, this same-sex marriage. I don't see anybody, at least I don't talk to them, who are just raving mad on all of these crazy subjects that we have to talk about. But the Bible says that there is one man and that there is one woman, and that is a way that we are to live, and that is a way that we are to raise our children. Now, if that has become offensive to some, then we chip away at it. No longer is the Bible quite the same after this. We have done something to it. Oh, we talk about people being saved, all people being saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A real universalism? Go to a funeral sometime. You've heard me mention this before. And listen to what the preacher is sometimes saying. He's saying that I'm talking to everybody here who is going to go to the heavenly home. And if the person who is being buried that day has been a man who defied Christianity in every way, we included him in the crowd because Jesus wants all people to be saved. And it is true, he does want all people to be saved, but not all people are going to be saved. because the only way to heaven according to Jesus Christ himself is through faith in him. Now then, do we endure the suffering to be true to the word of God as a faithful servant? Or do we let it pass by and adjust it so that it will not be offensive? And then maybe our churches can grow? Not at all. The churches that are growing today are those churches that are still faithful to what God has said in the Scriptures. Suffering is a heart of the Christian faith. Let's begin with Jesus. We go to Calvary. Here is Christ with the nails going through his hand, a crown of thorns on his head, and a sword in his side. And the blood is flowing. He is dying as a vicarious atonement for the sins of this world, for your sin and for my sin. That's what you call physical suffering. But there was another kind of suffering. Jesus had chosen 12 people, and had spent 3 years schooling them well. And now his stay here on this earth is about to end, and he is about to institute the Lord's Supper. In the upper room, he says, "One of you will betray me." And at that time, Judas stood up and walked out and sold Jesus to the enemy for 30 pieces of silver. Don't tell me that our Lord Jesus wasn't really suffering. And then there's Peter. Peter, who made all the wonderful confessions, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is the one who, when they asked him on the night that he was betrayed, "Aren't you one of his?" he denied 3 times with an oath that he never knew Jesus. And Jesus looked into the eyes of that man, and his heart really hurt. That's suffering. I heard one pastor say one day, and I've never forgotten the question. He wondered whether Jesus suffered more looking over the city of Jerusalem with all of its unbelief than over Calvary's cross, where he was dying physically. And this man went on to say that it was his conviction, just his personally, that there was more suffering there on the mount as he looked out over people who had heard the gospel and turned their back on him. Now, when he is commissioning the disciples and telling them to go and make disciples of all nations, he has reminded them that this can very well call for a great deal of suffering. Later on, he converted St. Paul, a man who had hated the faith, a man who had hated Jesus and was anxious to have all of his followers killed. It was this person whom Jesus called, made an apostle to the Gentile world. And so after all of the instruction had taken place, Paul began to go out into this world and to tell the story of Jesus and what Jesus had done for him, how he had entered into his heart, and how he had turned his life around. He landed in a place called Philippi. And what happened when he got to Philippi and gave the good news of the gospel? Because he had become offensive to certain people, they put him in jail. They beat him and his co-worker Silas. That was the suffering that Paul went through to tell that city that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Later on in his ministry, he landed in Rome. And now this last time, just before he is to be killed by Nero, he is sitting in a dungeon. He is dictating this letter of 2 Timothy on being a faithful servant. The man who is writing it down, we believe, was Luke, and he had to shout up to what he wanted written down from a dungeon hole. That is suffering. Of being chained, he said. He was. I am dying as a common criminal. They can tie me with chains, but they cannot tie the Word of God. Timothy, I am telling you this in my dying hours. I have suffered, Jesus suffered, and now it's your turn. You are up to bat. Now, he's saying this to a person who is physically weak, who is an introvert, who would run from this situation had it not been for the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew this. You see, it is so true, friend, that we are not only dependent on the Holy Spirit for our salvation and bringing us to faith in Christ, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit if we are going to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Timothy writes and preaches, and the gospel continues to go on. And finally, through the years, it has come down in his church, and the sufferings are always present where the gospel is proclaimed. Now it comes to us. Suffering means different things in different places at different times to different people. I don't believe in our day, at least where I live, there is a lot of physical suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. I know that there are other parts of the world where they really are suffering, and in Western civilization there was plenty of it back in the 40s and the 50s, as we fought in Korea, as we fought in Germany, as we fought in Japan. Physically, there was a suffering that came under Joe Stalin and Hitler. They threw men and women into the concentration camps and killed them by the millions. That was suffering. And much of it was suffering because of the cause of Jesus Christ. My wife and I are now at this present time reading a devotional book that was written by Corrie ten Boom. That woman really suffered for the cause of Christ. She had resisted the Nazis. She had kept some Jewish people in her home. And when they found out about it, off to the concentration camp, she and her sister went. Her sister, never to come back again, died in the concentration camp. That was a part of her Christian faith. But today I wonder if much of our persecution, I'm not saying all of it, but much of it, could be social in nature. You know, it means a lot to be accepted, at least as Americans. And when our lifestyle is not what people want it to be, they can easily enough exclude us from their little group. This is especially true, I think, if you have a strong witness for Jesus Christ, who might make some of the unbelievers in the crowd uncomfortable. Now, I'm not referring to one of these people who has to preach a sermon no matter where he goes. But I am referring to a person who, for example, is sitting there in the crowd, and a matter of religion comes up. And perhaps even he's asked, or she's asked, well, what do you think about this matter? We hear a great deal written about it. Do you think that we need, in this day and age, to emphasize some of our old teachings? Don't you think the church would be better accepted if we just kind of cut out some of the law and let people go on as they are? And you speak up and say, no. You're talking about the Bible, the Word of God. And that thing, that is not possible. You cannot cut away at the Bible and have the Christian faith. So what happens then? The natural thing to do is to remove these people whose names are on the social list. And the next time you have a party, you don't include them. And perhaps you wonder, why weren't we included? Perhaps you wonder to the place of asking a few questions. And someone probably says, well, we know that there were those who were offended at some of your remarks about the necessity of a strong Christianity, and so we thought we better not include you. I think of our young people. Many of them are very dynamic in their faith, and they take Jesus Christ very seriously about the illegitimate use of sex and alcohol. They say no. And sooner or later, many of them are excluded. I talked with a man several years ago now who had a good job, and finally he was let go. And I happened to ask him, why did they let you go? And he said, their ethics. The way they did business was more than I could stand. I could not be a part of their dishonesty. And so I went. Adjustable Christianity. I'm going to be a faithful person, but I can't risk my job. Adjustable Christianity. William McKenzie, a columnist for the Dallas Morning News, quotes Robert Putnam. He says, Americans are wonderfully tolerant of different religious views, but at the expense of serious theological convictions. Let me read it once more. Americans are wonderfully tolerant of different religious views, but they do it at the expense of serious theological convictions. I will forsake my theological conviction in order that I can be a little bit more tolerant. Now, God's word says to those of us who would be faithful servants, do not be ashamed to testify about your Lord, but join the millions who through the ages have endured suffering. Think of it. Had many not suffered for Jesus Christ in the past, we today who live in the 21st century, we today would not know Christ as our Savior and our Lord. But today, God once more tells us that if you want to be a faithful servant, there will be suffering. That was told to St. Paul, and it happened. It was told to Timothy, and it happened. And it has been told to every person who knows Jesus Christ, and it will happen. And it will happen to you and to me. But there is peace, joy, comfort, forgiveness, and the promise of an eternal home when Jesus is your Savior, of whom you are not ashamed, and for whom you are willing to suffer. Amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith and Him to
Father in heaven, we ask for your Holy Spirit to make us not only believers in Christ Jesus, but also to be faithful servants. And Lord, we remember the faithfulness of your giants in the faith, St. Paul, Timothy, and a host of others. Maybe even our own parents and those who surrounded us as children. God, we ask that we may be faithful too. For we realize that that is the way that the church will grow. And that's the way that it will extend its arms to those who this day need the Savior. We all need you, Lord. But there are special needs, and so we remember today those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. Comfort them. May they not be ashamed to confess that in Christ they are yours forever. In your name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message will fill you with hope for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry supported entirely by the generous gifts of our listeners. Some listeners even choose to make a final gift to our ministry by including Christian Crusaders in their will. In fact, estate gifts have become a crucial part in allowing us to continue bringing the Word of God to thousands of listeners around the world each Sunday. Now, if you would like to find out more about how you can include Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. All gifts to our ministry can be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. The newest issue of Christian Crusaders' quarterly newsletter is now available. To join our mailing list and receive a copy of this publication, which features a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as news about our ministry and thoughts on faith from other members of our staff, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth for the past 75 years.